my all in all.
My all in all.
Here in the love of Christ.
Here in the love of Christ.
What heights of love. Sing it again.
What heights of love. What depths of peace.
When fears are still. And striving cease.
My comfort. My all in all.
Here, here, here.
Here in the love of Christ, I stand.
We worship and we honor you. For what manner of love is this? That a man should lay down his life for his friend. We appreciate. And we don't just say that with our mouths. We go on to demonstrate it with our lives and our actions. For thus we judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That we which live should no longer live our lives unto ourselves, but unto you who died for us. And this we solemnly pledge to continue to do and increase in doing. As we go into your word, Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. I ask for fresh unction and anointing, so indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction that is upon me upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are here physically, and those who will hear me remotely electronically. Let your word flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including mine, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal. Power that will deliver. Power that will break yokes. Yes. Power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things that they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring it out of the treasure of this word, things new and old. Indeed, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in their individual lives, all agreed individually and said, Amen. Today I have a very important instructional message that the Lord laid on my heart because of the times in which we're living. If there was ever a time Christians needed clear instruction on how to operate in these days, it is now. All kinds of things are going on. All kinds of things. COVID-19, family issues, national issues, politics. And if you don't know God very well, there's enough out there to make you afraid. In fact, scripture says, and I mentioned it earlier in the Bible study, that the Bible says, it's in Luke 21, it says, men's hearts began to fail them for fear of things that are coming upon the earth. Every day you hear something new. You're watching television, just this happened, that happened. So I've entitled this message, Overcoming the Invisible Schemes of Satan. And it's deliberate. Overcoming the Invisible Schemes of Satan. I think one unfortunate thing, I don't like the word unfortunate, one regrettable thing that has permeated a lot of the church is an overestimation, or rather an underestimation of Satan for the foolish and the presumptuous, and an overestimation of Satan for the fearful. And you need to understand where God really puts him. Satan was an archangel created by God, perfect, according to Ezekiel chapter 28. We're not going to go there. He rebelled against God. He had great wisdom and power. He was the anointed cherub that covered the earth. That's not a small business. It's a lot. So it's very foolish to underestimate Satan. Now, of course, his wisdom has been corrupted, but he still has it. He just uses it in the wrong way. You know, against the purposes of God, or tries to use it against the purposes of God. And he still does have some significant amount of power. He's not almighty. He's not all powerful. But he's certainly not powerless. You know, you hear Christians saying things like, oh, you know, Satan doesn't have any power. Jesus has taken all his power from him. Those are not really true. Jesus defeated him at the cross. He spoiled principalities and power, but he hasn't taken all his power from him. He still has power today. It's just that the power of Christ in us is far greater than the power that Satan still has. But he has some power. And you need to know that so that you do not underestimate him. We're sharing with some people last night, and this scripture came to me. It says, your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you know, I've heard Christians say, oh, he can't devour anybody. He's devouring so many Christians every day. Let's be realistic, folks. And that's why the Bible went on to say that whom resist, if you don't resist him, he will devour you. He will not devour you in Jesus' name, I know. We're not going to go far if we're not truthful. You have to tell the truth to yourself and then equip yourself with the truth that God has given us to overcome these things. But to live in denial, you know, is the height of foolishness and presumptuousness. And it is causing defeat in a lot of Christian lives. The Bible says, now, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished your brethren in the world. Then in James chapter 4, he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. I want to ask a rhetorical question. What will happen if you don't resist him? What will happen? Or you say he doesn't exist. Or you say he has no power. You will be defeated. You will not be defeated in Jesus' name. You know, we like all these are cliches, but I'm giving you reality, so that you will be totally victorious. I didn't hear amen. Not only will you be totally, you'll be consistently victorious. I didn't hear a resounding amen. I did not hear a convincing amen. I did not hear a believing amen. Turn with me in your Bible to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We're going to be there today. And we're going to first of all read, we're not going to read everything all together. We'll first of all read the two verses of verses 10, 11, three verses, 10, 11, and 12. I will first of all read it in the King James, and then I will look at any one or two other translations. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Wait a minute. You need to understand this is the last chapter of the book of Ephesians, the book that has the greatest amount of revelation in the whole of the New Testament. You know, it tells us, you know, our purpose in Christ, to grow up, to be in Christ in all things. He prayed a prayer for the Ephesians, prayed the first prayer for them in Ephesians 1, that they'll have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Then pray another prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. Then he goes in chapters 4 and 5, he gives them practical instructions. Don't lie, don't steal, you know, don't be covetous, and so on and so forth. Walk in love. And he gives them a whole slew of instructions in chapters 4 and 5. Work worthy of the vocation, worthy of your call. Then, he closes chapter 6. You know how everything I have said in chapters 4 and 5 are going to work? Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How? How am I going to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might? He tells you in the next, these next verses. We'll read verses 11 and 12 to start. He says, put on the half armor of God. Put on a part of the armor of God. It is omissions like this that cause us to be defeated. Many years ago, you know, the Lord drew my attention to that. He says, if He said the whole armor of God, it means it is possible through ignorance, negligence, to put on a part of the armor, not put on another part of the armor. Otherwise, He wouldn't say that. It's very specific. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Corollary. If you don't put on the whole armor of God, or you put on a part of the armor of God, there are certain wiles. That word was Old English. That's why I use the word schemes. Let me look at this. I'll read it from the Amplified. I'll first of all read the Amplified, and I'll read New International Version. The Amplified says, put on the whole armor of God, the armor of a heavily armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully, I like that, to stand against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. New International Version says, put on the whole armor of God, that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That's where I got this word schemes from. And then I added invisible. And you're going to see the reason why I put invisible as this message unfolds. You need to understand that the person we're dealing with, this Lucifer and his lieutenants, what we call the principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, have been with God for many, many years. Only God knows how long. We don't know. But we know it's going to be, you know, the scientists tell us that the earth is, you know, billions of years old, you know, from some estimation using, you know, radioactivity and things like that, you know. And we know he was here. We know Satan was here. According to the scriptures, he was another. So we know he's not a kid, if I can use that expression. You know, he's been around for a while, and he knows a lot. Doesn't know everything. God knows everything, but he knows a lot. And the Bible says he has strategies and schemes. And you, as a Christian, the only way you're going to be able to stand and overcome his schemes and strategies is if you put on the whole armor of God, as we're going to see, and do some other things. You know, when we finish the armor, we'll look at the defensive, and then we'll look at the offensive armor. You've got to take this stuff seriously. And the reason why he's running rings around so many Christians is that many Christians don't realize, you know, what we're up against. In fact, one of the things that's defeating us is because we cannot see Satan afar off when he's planning something. It takes spiritual insight to be able to see that that's the devil there. Recently, my wife was sharing with me and some other people, you know, she said, "Ah, honey, this is a strategy of the devil. He's trying to, you know, distract us. This is really what he wants to do, and he's going this way." It takes spiritual insight to be able to see that. And so the scripture tells us in verse 12, he says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Turn to your neighbor and say, flesh and blood is a distraction. Satan always tries to make you think that the person who is your enemy is a human being. It's a very effective strategy. Because what we do is that we now start fighting one another and fighting the human being, instead of fighting the spirit that is operating via the human being to do certain things. It has been a very effective strategy. Most Christians, because we are carnal, the word carnal is not an insult. The word carnal just means that we are ruled or governed by our physical senses. That's the meaning of carnal. It means flesh ruled. It means the physical senses are what what dominates our thinking. So when something happens, all I see is the physical. Ah, look at what he said to me. Ah, look at what she did. Ah, look at what they did. Ah, look at this and look at that. And you focus on the human being and not on the invisible spiritual forces that are behind the actions of the human beings. And once he can get you there, he's got you stuck. He's going to defeat you. In fact, what he does is that he allows us to defeat each other. The Bible says, take heed that you not devour one another. And many times we do. Instead of forgiving that person, we get into strife. And the Bible says, where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. And you create a conducive atmosphere for Satan to operate. It's very clever. And you know, sadly, it's working in so many lives. Because our attention is taken off the real enemy and put on flesh and blood. And hence the great apostle tells us, he said, we wrestle not. I didn't hear you. Against flesh and blood. But against principalities and powers. Against principalities. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against wicked spirits in high places. The King James says in other places, in heavenly places. Now, let's get down to earth. What's happening is this. Satan is very intelligent. It was God who gave him his intelligence. The Bible says he summed up the sum of wisdom. Go and read Ezekiel 32. I don't have time to go there. So he's not foolish. The other day, my wife and I were praying about some things, and she said, honey, familiar spirit, bind it. So we were praying together, bound the familiar spirit. Generational spirit. Satan knows you. He knows your father. He knows your grandfather. The ones you don't know, your great-grandfather, he knows. Your great-great-grandfather, he knows. He knows their fleshly faults and their weaknesses. And he knows how those same weaknesses have been transmitted to you via the flesh. It's one of the reasons why Jesus was not born, was born of a virgin, and he was not born by natural birth. Had he been born by natural birth, God forbid, he would have inherited the sin nature and some of the faults of, whoever his natural father would have been, and his mother Mary. But because he was born by what we call the Immaculate Conception, he was born, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, the egg came from Mary, but the sperm came from God. God just created it, and through his word, and fertilized that egg so that flesh, the fetus, the zygote that was conceived in Mary's womb was, divine. It did not have the sin nature in it. That is why Jesus is called the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is two things. He's the only begotten of the Father, and then he's also firstborn from the dead. They're not the same. Only begotten of the Father is that in all of human history, Jesus is the only person that was born by natural birth without the sin nature. Adam was not born, he was created. And everybody who was born after Adam, Cain, Abel, Seth, and so on, all had the sin nature. And all of us right down through the line up till now, we all inherit the sin nature from our parents and all of that. But the Lord Jesus, because he was born by a virgin, he did not have that sin nature. That's why he was called the only begotten of the Father. He was born sinless. You and I inherit our sin nature from our parents. And Satan has your history. So when he wants to deal with you, he will send, listen to this, a familiar spirit. A spirit who is familiar with you. He's familiar with your history. He's familiar with the history of your parents. He's familiar with the history of your grandparents, your great-grandparents. So when he wants to deal with you, he knows what you like. He has your record. He knows what you have a weakness for. So he will then arrange physical circumstances, and you will think it's flesh and blood, but it's not flesh and blood. He will arrange your physical circumstances such that, you know, he presents to you a scenario that he knows that you will fall for, that you will like, because he knows you. He's familiar with you. That's why I call them familiar spirits. I'm going to get to the good news in a minute, but let me just lay the foundation on the back, because it's so important. You know, the good news is that you can and should overcome him. I won't say you will. Let me say you can and should, because you have to use these weapons that God has given us, the whole armor of God, and then later on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and then praying in the Spirit. You're not going to overcome Satan and his schemes by natural human thinking and natural human methods. It has failed for 2,000 years. It will continue to fail. The only person that can overcome Satan is the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in you. He didn't say greater is you. He said greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. It is the greater one in you that makes you great so that you can overcome the wicked one. And the name of the greater one is God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 in verses 2 and 3. Let's quickly go there, and then I want to give some examples which are practical that you can relate to, you know, not your own life, you know, necessarily, but I'm going to give, you know, one example from the Bible, and then, you know, give you some scenarios that you can easily relate to. So you will never say, that's the devil. It's not my wife. It's not my children. It's the devil. Then you stop fighting your wife or fighting your children or girls, and you know what you do? You forgive them, you remit their sins, you ask life for them, then you face the real enemy. Ephesians, the second chapter, we're going to come back. We're in chapter 6, so if you have a nice Bible like mine, you know, you just press a button and you're in chapter 2. Okay, right. It says, in time past, in verse 2, I didn't hear you. Where in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. The course, like the course of a river, you know. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or manner of life or conduct, in times past, watch this, in the loss of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. We're going back to chapter 6. Now, what I just want to say is this. Everything that happens in the natural, is lesson one, foundations of faith in this class, in this our church. You know, every physical event has a spiritual origin. They are invisible by virtue that they are spiritual. The meaning of something that is spiritual is something that is not perceptible to your physical senses, operating at a higher level of energy. That's what we mean by spirit. You know, like electromagnetic waves, for example, in your mobile phone, you know, you can't see the wave going to your, but it's there. You know, it's real. The reason why you can't see it is because it's moving at the speed of light. So anything above the speed of light, which man cannot define in our physics and understanding of natural things, we say the speed of light is the limit. But we know by revelation it can't be the limit, because God is light. Guess what? You know, I want to go a little physics now. I'll just come back in a minute. You know, where you stop is where God starts. Give him a clap offering. Light, watch this. Physical light is God's lowest boundary. but it's our own highest in the physical. Are you listening to me? If you read your Bible very well, you will find that there are different kinds of light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and God spake and said, light be. But that's not the light of the sun. It's not until the fourth day that, you know, he made the sun, you know, actually they were already made. He just allowed them to show. But another message for another day, you know. So, you know, the sun and the moon and all of those things, you know, that's physical light. That was not until the fourth day. So the light of the first day, where did it come from? It's the light that is inside God. It is a higher light than the light of the sun you can see. So we're dealing with spiritual things are real, folks. They're spiritual forces that transcend the physical world that we can see. And by virtue of the fact that they are operating at a high level of energy, they are not perceptible to our physical senses. That is, we can see them, we can touch them, we can taste them, we can hear them, we can feel them. You cannot operate spiritual things by your physical senses. That is why most Christians find it difficult to operate in faith. Because most Christians are used to something they can see or something they can feel. And if they're not feeling anything and they're not seeing anything, they don't believe it. That's why you need to operate in faith so you can see invisible realities by the light of God that is inside your heart, your spirit. It now shines into your mind and now makes spiritual things real to you. They're there. But you now begin to perceive them. You begin to see them. So what happens is this. According to Ephesians chapter 2. When Satan wants to do something, the Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. He moves with an invisible force inside the atmosphere, the air. That invisible force now impinges, that is, it lands, that's a simpler word to use, on the human mind, the human will, the human emotions, and the human physical body, and the human circumstances. And he programs it. So he will put a thought in your mind. Watch this. He will put a feeling in your emotions. He will put a desire in your physical body. Then he will create a circumstance that will be attractive to you. And if you are not spiritually perceptive, you will think that it's just natural. It's just what, you know, it's just what I feel like doing. Then you go ahead and do it and enter into his trap. He does that, watch this, 24/7. It's happening as I'm speaking now. All over the world. Every day. This is a common thing. It happens. It's happening all the time. It's only by the grace and the mercy of God, by revelation, that some of us Christians, by reading the Bible and believing it and growing spiritually, have come to understand this reality. It's happening 24/7. If Satan wants a person to do something, he knows exactly how to operate it. He will put a thought. He will put a feeling. He will put a desire. He will arrange a circumstance, and the guy will just do it. Now, let's look at some practical examples. I'm not going to spend a long time on this because of time. David, see how Satan set him up for adultery. Very, very. King. Time for the kings to go in battle. He stayed back in Jerusalem. Ask why. Maybe he was feeling tired. Maybe he just felt, well, you know, Joab and others can take care of that. You know, it looked like a natural, innocent thought. I mean, I go to battle all the time. I just take it easy for this year. Let Joab and others, they'll be giving me reports. If there's any important thing, I will send a message to them. It sounds reasonable. Very reasonable. Very reasonable. Although he ought not have done it, but very reasonable. But, you know. So, what happened? The thoughts came to him, stay in Jerusalem. The feeling came to his body and to his emotions. You know, you're not feeling too... Just relax. You just need to take it easy. You know? So, he stayed in Jerusalem. But you see, it was a part of a bigger strategy. That at the time he decided to stay in Jerusalem was invisible to David. He had no idea what Satan was planning. So he's in Jerusalem. Hey, we doesn't know whether it's the first day or the second day. Maybe spent a week at home. He just, you know, goes into his palace. He relaxes. They come. They entertain him. He eats. He just relaxes. Then one fine afternoon, the thought comes to him. Go and get some fresh air on the balcony. Innocent. No wrong in getting fresh air. You've been in the house all day. Go to the balcony and just look around and just get some fresh air. There's no sin in that. So he goes to the balcony. He's getting fresh air. Because his house is king, his palace is elevated. You know, in those days, they didn't have high-story buildings like we have today. You know, so his house was a little bit exceptional. You know, it was higher than most of the other houses around. He was able to see what's going on in other people's houses. So he now looked into the compound of Uriah the Hittite. And behold, the man's wife was having her bath. But from his vantage point, David could see her. He saw her nakedness. He saw her because there was no roof. So he could see her. Then, watch the strategy. He sees that, then a desire comes to his body. Wow, what a beautiful girl. Be nice to have some fun with her. After all, I won't harm her in any way. You know, the desire, the thought, the circumstance, all coordinated. Invisible schemes. And we know the rest of the story. He calls the girl and, you know, and all of that. At the time David stayed back in Jerusalem, the last thing on his mind was to commit adultery and murder. That's how Satan operates. He will give you something that initially looks fine and is innocent. But it is that's what I'm calling the schemes, the invisible schemes of Satan. It is usually a first step in a well-coordinated plan to get you into a situation where he can trap you and, if possible, kill you. So David had no idea. And many times today, you and I have no idea. We just, because we were so physically minded, we just think, oh, it's just natural. It's just, I mean, there's no harm in that. It's okay. You know, if somebody had said, David, don't stay in Jerusalem. Maybe somebody who, you know, of the Spirit, maybe like Nathan, or somebody picked it from the Holy Spirit and said, David, don't stay in Jerusalem. I said, what's the harm in staying in Jerusalem? I've been fighting all these days. Am I anti-king? Look, let me just relax. There's no harm. Everybody said, okay, it's true. There's no harm. Unless a spiritually perceptive person. That this guy, that staying in Jerusalem, is a first step to this guy's defeat. I use that example because it's a very good example and everybody knows it in scripture. But you can do that in a million different scenarios. You know, that's why, again, you need spiritual leadership many times. If something looks innocent, oh, I just want to do this, or I just want to go to Lagos, or I just want to, you know, go to London, or I just want to do it. And it looks innocent. Let's pray about it. This very step you are taking, it may be a first step to a whole strategy. Sometimes it may be okay. That's why you need to pray. We're going to get to prayer in just a minute. Now, I want to say some other things, you know, along these lines. So many things in our natural feeling and thinkings are actually programmed remotely by Satan, and we don't know. I'll give another typical example from scripture. You know, Peter says to Jesus, you know, Jesus said, I'm going to the cross. He said, no, this shall not be to thee. He was being sincere. God forbid, this will not be your portion. Jesus immediately recognized it. He recognized the invisible force behind what Peter said and the fact that he was trying to discourage him from going to the cross. Fast forward to the Garden of Gethsemane. You can now see that even Jesus himself, at the point of the cross, that human feeling came up. He didn't want to go. He said, Father, if it be possible. So, watch this. Had he yielded to what Peter was saying, those emotions would have started working on him and it would have been a much more difficult thing for him to go. See where Satan started working from. But Jesus, the Lord Jesus, was spiritually, sensitive enough to understand. So immediately rebuked it, said, Satan, get thee behind me. Watch this. For you do not like the things of God. You service not the things of God, but the things of men. Watch this. I just got this from the Holy Ghost, including me. Jesus was a man. And he knew that in his flesh, Jesus may not want to go to the cross. So he was not suffering. He didn't care about the purpose of God. He was caring about the comfort of the flesh and was trying to appeal to the comfort of Jesus' flesh through Peter, his friend. Can you see that? Look how clever it was. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he was praying every day and he was in the word, he knew that immediately he knew it was the devil. So there are many things. There was a recent article on our Daily Rhema that Pastor Wale gave to us recently. You know, I said the battle is the Lord's. And I picked this from it. I preached it many years ago. You know, things like pride and stubbornness are disguised as independence and self-reliance. I just want to, have you heard of, I'm a self-made man? You don't want to be a self-made man. You want to be a God-made man. But you've heard that before. See, that man, self-made. And it sounds good. Pride and stubbornness is disguised. It doesn't look like pride. It looks like independence and self-reliance. You have to be independent. Do your own thing. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. And say, yeah. And it looks good, but it's the devil. Covetousness is disguised as ambition. You want to quickly make money. You want to, get a good position. You want to achieve something. That's why one of the greatest, one of the terrible things that Lucifer has done in the church is what we call motivational messages. It is disguised as motivation to succeed. But it omits the weightier matters of the law. And many times, motivation, ambition and motivation is actually covetousness. Desiring some material and physical thing above your present level of spiritual development. And people don't recognize it. They just think, oh, that's good. Sounds good, But the Bible says, prosper even as your soul prospers. Then you have to ask the rhetorical question, what is the prosperity of the soul? I taught this some years ago in Fountain of Life Church, my friend's church. It's on the YouTube. And I think also in Bojus Church in Lagos. What is the prosperity of the soul? I've taught you here too, of course. It's humility of the will. It is the enlightenment of the mind with revelation knowledge. And it is the temperance of the emotions with the fruit of the Spirit. It is the degree to which that is there that God will prosper you. But people don't want that, and then he wants the prosperity. And it looks okay. So this is, I've painted a clear picture. This is why, how is invisible schemes of Satan. Now, these invisible schemes of Satan can only be overcome and defeated by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Because they are invisible, we can see them in the natural. And like I said earlier on, if you're not spiritually perceptive, you won't even know it's the devil. You just think it's natural. You just think it's a good thing. That is why my wife was saying this to some people recently. It is not every good idea that's a God idea. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, it is not every good idea that is a God idea. It could be the devil. That's why you need to pray. And sorry, folks, I know you don't like to hear this, but I'm not looking at your face. I'm not your servant. I'm God's servant. I serve you, but I'm God's servant. God dictates the menu. You know, that is why a lot of people don't like to submit things to spiritual oversight. Why? Because you see, at your own level, it looks good. But when you now take the spiritual oversight, who examine it through a spiritual x-ray? They might tell you, I think it's not so good. And you don't want to hear that because you're fixated on what you want to do. But it can be very dangerous because you might wind up in something you can't handle. And sometimes it might be good, it might be okay. So if you truly want the will of God, why are you afraid to submit it? If truly what you want is the will of God rather than what you want, your own will. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, I'm going to use some examples from World War II, and then we're going to go into the how and close. Actionable intelligence is critical for winning any warfare, be it spiritual, like we're discussing, and physical. The reason why people are defeated is because they don't have intelligence. One of the reasons, you know, in this insurgency we have in Nigeria, you know, in the north, you know, and all of the things that are happening, all that, is because our armed forces and our security agencies many times do not have, listen to this, actionable intelligence. Everyone say actionable intelligence. That is intelligence you can act upon to overcome the enemy. Look at how big Nigeria is. Look at our landmass. It's so large. What's our police force? Our police force and our army is not even 1 million. Yet, you're trying to police a 200 million number of population country with a large landmass. If you put 5 policemen in every secondary school in Nigeria, we don't have enough police to do it. So how do we then protect our children from kidnappers? Actionable intelligence. What we need is actionable intelligence. I'm talking to natural now. I'm going to get to spirit, back into spirit in a minute. If when these miscreants and these marauders, you know, want to operate, they are not ghosts, they are human beings. They have friends, they have, you know, people, and you can get that intelligence that this is what they are planning to do in this place on so and so day. You don't have to put 5 policemen in every school. Once you know, then you can go ahead and abort their plan. And that is why CIA, the Israeli Mossad, which is one of the best intelligence agencies in the world, you know, have what they call, you know, undercover agents. CIA has undercover everywhere. You will know they are CIA. And they will not be white. Nigerian like you. They will be recruited by the CIA. You won't know. You will see him in dirty jeans, you know, in Lagos, you know, doing everything with all the boys. You think he's one of you, but he's not. He is, but he's been recruited. And all they want is give us information. So he's in a bar. Some guys are discussing that they want to go and do an operation somewhere. They want to rob a bank, or they want to go to a hotel, or they want to do this. He picks that information. And then he goes and reports it to your CIA guys. And they say, thank you. Then they get another one, and they get another one. It's actionable intelligence. It is that intelligence that they will not act upon. Recently, the American Special Forces rescued an American that had been captured by Boko Haram somewhere in the north, you know, near Niger Republic, near Lake Chad. They came in, it was with precision. They came in, they knew exactly where those guys were. They knew exactly what they were going to do. They killed the people. The man was not killed. They were able to rescue him and take him back to America. Give the Lord a clap offering. Everybody say, actionable intelligence. In World War II, there were three times, probably much more, but I just want to bring three out, when actionable intelligence won the war. The Germans were stronger. They were stronger than the British in the Battle of Britain. For every British Spitfire or warplane, the Germans have about five. That was the ratio, 5-1. They had fighters, they had bombers, they outnumbered them. But the British had actionable intelligence in radar. So they rested their boys. And whenever the Germans were coming, by the time they get halfway over the channel, the radar will pick where the Germans, how many they are, and where they are going to. Once they pick it, they will scramble the RAF boys on ground, and they will go to a high altitude, because the maneuverability of the Spitfire was better than that of the Messerschmitt. So they would go to a high, and they would just wait. The Germans will come in, and these guys will just come out from nowhere, so to speak. Shoot them down, and then they disappear. And that's how the Battle of Britain was won. The battle in North Africa. Rommel was one of the most brilliant generals of Adolf Hitler. Brilliant guy. And he was winning the war. He had pushed the British back. They were almost knocking on the door, of Saudi Arabia, because their whole purpose was to get the oil fields. And if he had gotten it, that's the end of the war. Because everything was working with oil, all the tanks and everything. If they had gotten it, and that was Hitler's strategy. They were losing the war. Then a bunch of mathematicians in England, in a place called Bletchley Park. It's a nice movie, you can watch it. It's somewhere in Netflix or somewhere. They got a mathematical code called Enigma. And they were able to break the code of the Germans. So every time they sent a coded radio message, from Adolf Hitler to Rommel, from Rommel to his field commanders, the British knew exactly what they were going to do. It was that actionable intelligence that won the battle in North Africa. The same thing happened in the Pacific War. The Japanese were winning. There's a battle called the Battle of Midway. It was actionable intelligence. They intercepted some of the Japanese messages, and they had a brilliant mathematical naval officer who said, this thing. He told his superiors in Russia, they didn't believe him at first. Then he said, let's test it. Then they sent another message. Then they sent another message. Then he got about two or three messages together and discovered that the place where the Japanese was going to act was Midway. That changed the whole thing. Let's come back to the spiritual. How do you know what Satan is planning tomorrow? Turn to your neighbor. I don't. Simple truth. You don't know. You know what he's planning for your children? You know what he's planning for your grandchildren? You know what he's planning for you? Do you know what he's planning for your pastor? You know what he's planning for your governor? Do you know what he's planning for your nation? You have no idea. Turn to your neighbor and say, praise God. The Holy Ghost knows. Give him a clap offering. The Holy Ghost knows. So what do I do? I have to now operate with the Holy Spirit to get this actionable intelligence. Watch this. This is good, honey. The angels can now act upon the intelligence that the Holy Ghost picks. That is why we speak in tongues of men and of angels. I got to move fast. So, how? I'm not going to spend a long time on this. The first part. It says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17a. Says, you know, it talked about from verses 13. Let me just, you know, let's go quickly go there. I'm not going to read everything because of time. You know, it says, take on the whole armor of God. You know, the girdle of truth, etc., etc. All of that, you can sum it up in this, the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody said the fruit of the Spirit. God gave me that revelation many years ago. You know, the whole armor of God. It's the fruit. You know why? God is love. So the armor of God is the armor of love. So when that, no wonder, that's why Paul said the whole. Then he gives us the whole number in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, patience. Put everything on daily. I didn't hear an amen. Put it all on daily. You know what I now discovered? I now discovered that that thing is the same thing. The Bible is saying the same thing. The Spirit, you know, the letter is different, but the Spirit is the same. Whenever I say, if the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, if it says, put on the new man, if he says, put on the armor of light, the same thing. The same God. What's the new man? The new man is made in, you know, put on Christ. Same thing. It's the nature of God. It's the character of God, rather. You put it on into the soul and into the body. So that when there is a defensive weapon, when Satan's spiritual forces from the air, when they come on your mind, and they come on your will, and they come on your emotions, and they come on your body, and they come in circumstances, because that fruit of the Spirit is there, immediately a foreign thing comes, the fruit of the Spirit that is inside you will say, that's not good. That's not God. But if you have not programmed yourself, you will not be able to pick those things as you should. Putting on the whole armor of God is a daily affair. It's just like putting on clothes. See, if I wear clothes today, after some time, now when I get home this afternoon, I'm going to take off this suit. You know, then I'll take it to send you dry cleaners and all of that. In the same way, spiritual, that's why we clean with the blood. You have to put on the whole armor of God daily. It's your defensive weapon. I won't say more than that on that. Now, the offensive weapon is where I'm going to spend a little bit of time on. The Bible says, and take the sword of the Spirit. This is verse 17, the second part of it. You know, all the first part is, you know, the helmet of salvation. All of that is the, you know, armor of God. The helmet of salvation is the hope. You know, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the hope of resurrection, the hope for the things you are believing God for, you know, and so on and so forth. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This is the offensive weapon. You take the word of God, you put it into your mouth. It's called the sword of the Spirit in the understanding. But you don't stop there. That's where many Christians stop and they are defeated. You see, a lot of people just believe that just by saying, if I just say, you know, what the Bible says, I will get it. It's partly true, but it's not the whole truth. Because yes, you will say it and you will set the spiritual forces into operation that are going to bring it to pass. But you have an enemy. And that enemy is operating in the heavenlies. If you do not follow it up with praying in the Spirit to overcome those wicked spirits in the heavenly places, they will block the word of God that you said. So it is very childish. And it's because of spiritual immaturity. You know, to think that, once I've said God's word, you know, God can never fail. God watches over his word to perform it. Everything you're saying is true. You know, that it automatically will come to pass. It will not. You have to back it up with praying in the Spirit. And I'll tell you another one. Many times when we just speak God's word and it comes to pass, it's because God raised somebody who prayed for us. Look at Daniel. You don't have to turn there. The Bible says that Daniel prayed. No, it says they didn't have praying in tongues, but he fasted and prayed. You know, and God, the Bible says, the day he spoke, God heard it. And that the answer was sent. Every time you make a confession of God's word, turn to your neighbor and say, God hears it. And the answer is sent. The issue is it blocked? The Bible says it was sent. And then when Gabriel came, he said, I was sent the very first day. He said, but the, an evil spirit, the prince of Persia, he said, he withstood me for 21 days. And Michael, the chief angel, was now sent. And then he helped me, and that's how I got to you. That reveals to us that just speaking God's word alone is not enough. It's important. It's very strategic. But that alone is not enough. And it's childish Christianity. You know, people just think, so long as I just say it, you know, God will just do it. I was teaching us recently on trusting God. There are four things that causes faith to work. Confession of the word is the first one. You have to speak it, believe it in your heart. Then number two, you need to forgive whenever anything offends you. Number three, you need to pray in the spirit, which is what I'm talking about now, to overcome all these evil spirits in the heavenly places and change all the circumstances. So nothing will block what God, what you are saying. Then number four, you need to give thanks always. And sadly, the church has only taught one and emphasized one. You find most people say, oh, just speak God's word. Just speak God's word. That's true. Please, no, I'm not saying it's not true. It's correct. But you have to add these other things to it. If I speak God's word and I'm walking in unforgiveness, it's not going to work. I didn't hear amen. They're looking at me funny. When you say amen, or if you can't say amen, say, oh, me. If you speak God's word and you don't forgive and you don't pray in the spirit and you don't give thanks consistently, you do not create a conducive atmosphere for that word to come to pass. Are you listening to me? I'm teaching you overcoming the invisible schemes of Satan. This is how you overcome. And that's why a lot of Christians do themselves a lot of disservice by not praying in the Spirit. No wonder the apostle said, he said praying always. He didn't even say praying sometimes. With all prayer and supplication. He knew by experience that this has to be a better word for this. You know, praying constantly, consistently. Praying always. Because that this battle is going on 24/7. For every declaration you make, for every word you speak, there is a contest. That's why you need the... No wonder why the great apostle said, he said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. I would that you all speak in tongues. So praying in the Spirit is an essential tool in this spiritual warfare, to overcome these invisible schemes, to overcome these invisible schemes of the devil, is an essential tool in spiritual warfare to overcome all these schemes of the devil in order to be, watch this, it's just come to my heart, consistently victorious. You see, many of our people are victorious once in a while. And the reason is, they don't do what the apostle said, the instruction, praying always. So they pray sometimes. So those times they don't pray, except when, and thank God for covering. See, if you have a good father, I'm talking about, you know, your natural father, or a good pastor who prays a lot for you, you may not appreciate what I'm talking about, because you just say something and it comes to pass. And then you are deceived into thinking that, oh, it's just my faith. But somebody somewhere was praying for you. and got rid of those devils on your behalf. Are you listening to me? Jesus sends out the 12 apostles and gives them his anointing. And they go out. The Bible says they healed people everywhere and they cast out devils. Then they came back and said, God, oh, even the devils. Jesus said, chill. He said, don't rejoice. Now rejoice, your names are written in the book of, in the Lamb book of life. Then later on in John chapter 17, he tells us a secret. He said, those that you gave me, he said, I kept them in thy name. Pastor Dio, he mentioned this morning. Intercession was what caused them to be victorious. But you see, thank God, God has given us the book. So we have the whole syllabus. So we now know everything. You see, sometimes, even me, my wife, sometimes, I may be weak. I may not be able to. And God, thank God for all of you. Because you're praying. And God will use your prayers to cover for me. Then there'll be times my own prayers will also cover for you. So we're supposed to help one another. But it is the height of irresponsibility and foolishness for us to say, oh, I don't need that. How can you not need actionable intelligence? In a warfare against an enemy you cannot see, whose invisible schemes are in operation that you have no knowledge about. How do you know what the devil is planning for you in 3 weeks' time? And he has already got part one of the plan because he put a thought in your mind and you've already done the first one. Like he did for David. David did not commit adultery the day he stayed back in Jerusalem. It was a plan. It was a plan. It was a scheme that had been intelligently, developed. And it was step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. Step one was stay back in Jerusalem. Step two was on a day when he's feeling weak. Maybe he's eating very well. He's not very spiritually sensitive. He's feeling relaxed. Let him go up to the balcony to go and take fresh air. Step three, let Bathsheba come and have a bath at that time. Step four, let him feel a sexual desire to sleep with Bathsheba. And don't let him overcome that desire. Step five, let him call for her. Step six, let Bathsheba come into the bedchamber. Step seven, let him sleep with her. Step eight, let her get pregnant. Step nine, let him try and cover it. And ask the husband to come to try and sleep with her to cover it. Step 10, let the husband not go. Step 11, let him plan the husband's murder. Step 12, let him murder him. Plan complete. The whole purpose, watch this, darling, was to kill David. Thank God for God's mercy, and that didn't happen. But look at what it cost. What am I saying? Everybody says the schemes of the devil, the invisible schemes of Satan. We're not dealing with a small boy. There's somebody who's someone of wisdom, corrupted, yes. The only person that can run rings around Satan is the Holy Ghost. Write it down. That's the only person. You know why? I got news for you. He made Satan. And he knows what Satan is thinking before Satan thinks it. Give the Lord another clap offering. Woo! No wonder why the Bible says we are more than conquerors. Get that kind of guy on your side and you're a sure winner. But don't block him. Don't shut him out. The Bible says quench not the spirit. And this guy's here to help you. And then you say, I don't need that help. I'm going to close. So praying in the spirit gives us spiritual actionable intelligence. because we're speaking mysteries, secrets in the spirit. The Holy Ghost can already see what Satan is thinking. He already knows what he's planning. So when you begin to pray in tongues, you begin to pray actionable intelligence to overcome it. The Bible says the Spirit of God will show you things to come. So when you're praying in the Spirit, you're bringing out intelligence, spiritual intelligence that will thwart and overcome the plans of the enemy. That intelligence is given to angels. That's why we pray in tongues of men and of angels. Those angels will now go and execute the actionable intelligence and thereby overcome the devil. It is for this reason, I got to close. The Bible tells us, he says, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Watch this. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Let's translate that to modern terms. For we do not have actionable intelligence. I don't have it, you don't have it. But when I get when I release the Holy Ghost inside me, he begins to pick the actionable intelligence and defeat the enemy in your life. There's something I picked by the Spirit when I was preparing this message today. I was reminded by the Holy Spirit. This lack of, say, we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. It takes humility to accept that. You know, a lot of people have a lot of faith in their understanding and their knowledge of Scripture. Oh, Shelebe, I'll just, you know, say what, you know, this promise, I'll get this one. And that's okay. You can build a legal case with the Scripture. Do you understand? But to push it through into reality, you need the Holy Ghost. Your prayer can be legally correct. But if power is not there and actionable intelligence, the enemy, the prince of Persia, can block it. It's not enough. That is why it's a threefold key. The blood, the word, and the spirit. You can't fight this battle by the word only. I didn't hear amen. You can't fight it by the blood only. You can't fight it by the spirit only. It's a three combination lock. You need all three. The blood to cleanse because of, you know, the sin nature. And sins that we commit so that nothing will block the flow of life. The word to give us the legal basis of what we're praying about so we can key in our faith. And then the spirit to give us actionable intelligence to be able to overcome the invisible schemes of our enemy. So I was reminded of this. Kenneth Hagin said something. It was Jesus who said it to him in one of his visions. And this is what he said. I'm going to close now. He said, many men live and die and never enter into the first phase of their ministry. I remember reading that as a young man. It not frightened me, but it made me sit up. Jesus appeared to Kenneth Hagin. At this time, Kenneth Hagin was 42 years old. It was 1959. Kenneth Hagin was born in 1917. Kenneth Hagin had been in the ministry for 14, 15 years. He'd had a successful ministry because he got born again, you know, in 1934. Then he started his ministry, you know. So you're looking at, you know, about 15 years. He'd been a pastor, successful. He'd had word of wisdom, word of knowledge. He had had miracles of healings. He had had, oh, he prayed, you know, he had a lot of, but there were certain things that he didn't yet really have. So he was led by the Holy Ghost to begin to pray the Ephesian prayers for himself, that God would give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. One of the answers to that prayer was some of the visions he had. Now, you and I don't need visions today. You know, we don't necessarily have to have a vision before you can get revelation. Because it was, Kenneth Hagin was going to spearhead the move of another generation. And down through the years, from the times of Charles Wesley and all of that, the church had no revelation, very little, you know, people like EWK and all of that, you know. So there was a paucity. So when Jesus, when Peter King began to pray that prayer with an honest heart, you know, as one of the answers to that prayer, he began to get revelation, you know, without a vision. Then when he had more understanding, Jesus appeared to him. He didn't expect it. So in one of these visions, Jesus said to him, he said to him that, look, he had an accident and his hand was in plaster of Paris. He said, I allowed this accident to happen to arrest your attention. Because you have put your teaching ministry above your prophetic ministry because it is more popular with men. Now, Jesus said this is one of the... It got my ears. And that's why I have been, by the grace and the mercy of God, I yet don't have the grace, which I've been very careful over the years. You know what he said? He said that if you had continued like that, he said you would have died at the age of 55. That's 13 years down the road. Everybody say, invisible schemes. I didn't hear you. 13 years. He was 42. That's going to be at 55. See where Satan starts planning from. He said you would have died at the age of 55 and you would never have entered into the first phase of your ministry. Oh my God. I said, Ken Hagin, who had healed the sick, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, been preaching, people have heard, Jesus said he hadn't entered the first phase of his ministry. The way man looks is not the way God looks. And thank God, Kenneth Hagin corrected that. You know, we would never have heard that there was a man called Kenneth Hagin. There are many like that we have not heard of who also were called. Because they did not act on actionable intelligence. The only way you can overcome the invisible schemes of Satan is to get the invisible Holy Ghost. On your side. Don't say you don't need that. I don't believe in that. I don't want that. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit help for we, all of us, including you, do not know what we should pray for as we ought. You don't know what this guy is doing, but the Holy Ghost knows, and he will help you overcome him. Stand to your feet. Make praying in the Spirit a priority. I heard this from Kenneth Hagin and I've copied the example ever since. 90% of my prayer is in tongues. For me, Olubi Johnson, let me just push it up. It's actually 95%. But the 5% is just to give me a legal basis. I know what the Word of God says. I declare it and that's it. I let the Holy Ghost do the rest. You know why? He's wiser than me. He's smarter than me. He's more powerful than us. And he has, that's why it's called Lord Sabaoth. Mommy was talking about it the other day. The Lord of hosts. Who are those hosts? Angels. If there is one thing, the Lord said this to me some years ago, Satan is frightened of, is Christians who are, watch this, using the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit to perfect the love of God. So they have made love their goal, so that their tongues is now effective. Because you see, if you pray with tongues and you're not walking in love, and love is not your goal, your tongues may not be effective. For if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, and I have not love, it will not profit. But when I now make perfecting the love of God, and I make tongues love my goal, and that's what I'm practicing every day, then I now put on top of that consistent, effectual, fervent praying in tongues, I become a terror to the devil. I didn't hear amen. You become a terror. And that's why the Bible says, God was telling me this. He said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Then one day the Lord said to me, he said, why does he flee? Do you know what you mean to flee? In fact, the Amplified Bible says, flee as in terror. When he sees the flood, glory to God. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. When he sees the flood of God's power that is pouring out from your spirit. Then the angels, the hosts of angels that have been called by the Holy Ghost to take that power to rout his principalities and powers, they flee in fear. Are you listening to me? Know who you are and know what you have. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us talk to God. Hallelujah. Talk to the Lord. Holy Ghost. He's our helper. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Move amongst us.
Move amongst us.
Amongst us with holy fire.
As we lay aside all
earthly desires.
Hands reach out.
And our hearts
aspire.
Holy Spirit,
we welcome you.
Let the wind, glory to God, the wind of your presence blow, that your children hear of mine.
Holy Spirit,
we welcome you. Please accomplish.
In
us today,
some new work
of love and grace. We pray
unreservedly
that we have your way.
Holy Spirit,
we welcome you.
Put
one hand on your heart, raise the other hand to God.
Let the wind
of your presence,
that's
your children, hallelujah.
Your children hear my truly know.
How?
To move
in the Spirit's
flow. Holy Spirit, we welcome you.
Say, Father, I thank you for your word that I have heard this afternoon, reminding me, admonishing me, instructing me to allow the Holy Spirit do his work in and through me of actionable
intelligence to overcome all the invisible schemes of Satan that are going on right now against me, my family, my nation, my circumstances. Father, I confess my sins and I receive the cleansing of the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. I repent of sins of ignorance, sins of stubbornness, sins of rebellion against this truth of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I acknowledge my need of the Holy Spirit in the place of prayer, in conjunction with the cleansing of the blood of Jesus and the Word of God, so that I can be victorious to overcome all the invisible schemes of the devil. Oh God, have mercy on me. Strengthen me from within. Strengthen me in the inner man. Strengthen me in the outer man. Help me. Give me mercy to be faithful, to daily allow your love to run its full course in my life, from my spirit into my mind, my will, my emotions, my body, my circumstances, and to pray consistently, effectually, and fervently in the spirit, so the Holy Ghost can pray about what I do not know. The Holy Ghost can release your power and your angels to overcome all the invisible schemes of Satan. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Father, thank you, Laprika. Mercy, Lord. Father, thank you, Laprika. Lord Jesus, thank you, Laprika. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you, Laprika. We thank you for your blood. For your life, your power, shokotu freding gredolo matolo mandara, rima tofre, upon our souls, liprinengaras, upon our bodies, apredes, upon our circumstances, lipridelebes, into our airspace and our heavenlies, libranas, remos, jekito frene, lombro tofresk, in Jesus' name. Just before we go, I have been instructed by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Those are at home, if you're watching. Those who are here physically, if you need healing, the healing power of God has already gone out with the word. And you need deliverance. It may be oppression, it may be depression. It's all different. It's the same devil. It's just different flavors. God told me, he said, I should tell you, this all you do is very, very simple. Stretch forth your hands in faith. See, Jesus, three times he did this. The centurion servant, he never went there. He just said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. He was healed. The Syrophoenician woman, he never went there. He just said, my daughter is healed. You know, the nobleman's son, he didn't go there. He just said, go thy way, thy son liveth. So I'm operating in the same principle. I don't know what your problem is. I don't need to know. The Holy Ghost does. That's why we pray in the spirit before the services. So if you're in need of healing or deliverance from any type of, you know, oppressive kind of condition or spirit, if you're watching, stretch your hands towards the screen. And say this after me. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word that has gone forth. Your word says you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I receive now healing from your word. I receive now deliverance from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to do something. Maybe you have a pain in your body, something, check. Not necessarily now. I don't want you to do it for me now. You know, If you get a miracle, those are home too. You can put it in our chat box online right now, you know, and just write your testimony. You don't have to come and tell me now. I don't need that. You know, you just, if you got something, go and check yourself. Go back to the doctor. Let them check. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe there's something. Go back. Let them do the x-ray again. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon
you.
The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You're at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. Yes, so you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection of fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name,
amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. So you overcome the invisible schemes of the devil by praying in the Holy Ghost. So no bones in your life will ever be broken. In Jesus' name, amen.